Sammy Edmonds wandered in. He's got a nice, I would call that, what sort of knit would you call that? So sort of a round neck burnt orange knit.
In baby poo colour too.
I was going to say, I like burnt orange more than mustard, but then Tim obviously changed all that. Regardless, good to be here, gents.
Nice.
Tim's,
hey,
not Tim's many, well-dressed too.
Not many people can wear baby poo, but you can. It looks magnificent on you.
Thank you very much. No, it's good to be here.
Hey, what can you tell us about Dylan Grimes?
Look, some eyebrows are raised, I think it's fair to say, Gary, yesterday afternoon when Richmond provided their injury report, which did note that the star defender Dylan Grimes had been suffering concussion symptoms in the wake of the win over the Western Bulldogs, and that he would miss Friday night's game against Geelong as a result under the protocols that the AFL has in place. Now, Grimes did play a full game against the Dogs. Richmond physical performance manager Peter Burge said there was no obvious incident when it came to Grimes suffering concussion against the Dogs. It's a curious one. We know delay concussion happens, of course. But as has been pointed out, there was an obvious incident. It occurred halfway through the third quarter. He took a mark at centre-half back on the backside of the centre square under pressure from Josh Bruce, who did make front-on contact that contributed to Grimes' head hitting the turf quite hard. Now, when you look at the vision, Grimes is clearly momentarily dazed, took some time to get to his feet, not suggesting he played out the game with concussion right there and then. But to use the phrase, no obvious incident, was curious, and the AFL this morning will not say whether they've been in touch with Richmond as part of its due diligence in this space. And the Tigers as well, Gary, quickly haven't clarified whether Grimes was made to perform any concussion testing during the game.
Right. So the interest in this is how hard the hit was when he banged his head on the ground, and then I guess it's up to the player then. And look, to be absolutely fair and all this, the Richmond have, you know, they're not playing Dylan Grimes this week.
They've done the right thing now, absolutely. Right thing.
Yeah. So the question is now, what procedures were followed through on the actual night? Now, he may have said, oh, yeah, I felt a bit dazed, but then the symptoms came on much later.
And that can happen.
Of course it can. Of course it can. But
it can happen like that.
Do you take the extreme view? Like, are we in the era now where any, so should they have known in the end? Or should, no, not should they have known. Should Dylan have said, listen, I just want to get myself checked out here? Players taking that responsibility? He may not have felt he needed to.
He probably didn't feel that he needed to. Like, it's interesting. It is an interesting position that we find ourselves in the game right now, given that there's so much concentration on head trauma and head knock. Can I just ask you this? How did this story come about? Did you notice that the knock took place, or did you just do some research after it became knowledge that he was going to miss this week because of concussion?
Had a look at some vision post the release yesterday from Richmond.
Right, okay.
And it has been made clear on Twitter. I mean, supporters are an educated lot now. Yeah, a lot of vision sent out on Twitter saying, well, I would have thought this might have been reasonably obvious. Mm. So anyway,
did it look obvious to you, though, when you watched the vision?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it does. If you go back and watch it, he is dazed, takes some time to get to his feet.
John says exactly that. We all saw it as supporters. I was dumbfounded by that comment. So that's from an outside point of view.
And they do look at the vision on the bench. We know that. They look at the hits and the doctors and the specialists there on the bench to see what happens out on the field.
He's out, so at least that's good. So hopefully he gets himself right. Tyson Goldsack?
Yeah, look, this is good news for Port Adelaide yesterday. So firstly, scans confirmed Tom Rockliff had escaped with that MCL damage rather than the ACL tear. But their own injury report went on to say that the Premiership Magpie Tyson Goldsack was set to make his club debut this week in the Sandfall. Now, he was signed as a development coach by the Power last year with the idea that he'd play some footy in the Sandfall. But 33 years of age now, he was plucked in the rookie draft last December, which does make him eligible for AFL selection. It's something of an experiment, Tim, given the footy department's soft cap cuts and staff cuts at clubs, because Goldsack's wage is counted now as a player. And we know the salary cap reduction hasn't been anywhere near as severe. So his wage goes in as a player while he works primarily as a development coach. Mm.
So you're suggesting he's being considered?
Well, he could be. Well, he would be if he plays amazingly well at Sandfall level. They have a couple more injuries.
Is this a way around some of this?
Well, this is a test case, I would argue, that if this works and the structure with the salary cap and the soft cap remain imbalanced as they are, might be a path going forward for clubs.
What about Alex Rance? We keep hearing that there's a possibility that he might resurface at some stage.
Clubs, Tim, are still asking the question, can you believe, of Alex Rance, a year and a half after he announced his retirement at the age of 30. So it is said that every few weeks a club asks the question, sort of like, Rancey wouldn't have a kick again, would he, mate? Now, that might have happened 10 times, Gary, since Rance hung up the boots. But Rance has repeatedly told people he's got no interest in playing AFL football ever again. And no one can predict the future, of course, but he couldn't be more categoric right now. He's a five-time All-Australian. He's actually a couple of weeks away from running out for C-grade West Australian amateur club Swan Valley, which is coached by the former Blue David Allard, who's also Alex Rance's cousin, one of his best mates. So,
is he living in Perth?
I don't know if he's living there.
Back to play
he's
game.
Definitely going to be playing for Swan Valley.
Well,
in that
if he was, the Western Bulldogs would be the one where you look at it and go, whoa. In the fanciful world of dreams, how nicely would he fit in there?
Well, many clubs have asked the question. They might have been among the more recent ones to just provide a tap on the shoulder.
Bailey Fritsch, we know that he was given a week by the MRO. Do you think that they'll appeal that decision today?
I'm keen for both of your thoughts on this. They're yet to commit to it, Tim, but it's certainly leaning that way. So he's raised elbow, fending off North youngster Tom Powell. It was assessed as careless, medium and high contact, which is a one-match ban as a first offence. Now, the Demons, for their part, believe the collision would not have occurred if Christian Petracca had not pushed Powell in the back, lowered his centre of gravity a split second before impact. And when you look at it, it is so quick in real time. There is something of a precedent there with Patrick Dangerfield in last year's grand final when the Cat Champ tried to punch the ball and instead flushed Nick Vlosten, but he had no case to answer. Of course, not Tom Powell's fault that Petracca pushed him.
No.
But they're going to say there's mitigating circumstances, I think. Thoughts on the
I think that they will appeal it. Yeah, they will.
I feel they will as well. And they're the examples I'll use. And they've got an arguable case. But in the end, it'll be determined whether or not it was avoidable and whether Bailey could have gone about it in a different way. And we are consistent on this. Head contacts, you're taking your own playing future in your hands.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. No, he's in some good form, though, isn't he? Six snags on the week.
Very well.
Yeah. Talking about good form, Sam Walsh is in some good form again. And you've gone to Chris Judd to get some sort of a comment about how good he is at the moment.
Well, there's been so many comparisons to Chris Judd. I thought we might as well go to the man himself.
Craig
the Blues,
Bradley, I go with.
The Blues outgoing football director, Jewel Brownlow-Millist, as well. He did say, "I'm the same as everyone," Chris Judd said. "As an onlooker, I just reckon he's going brilliantly." And I asked him about Walsh's just insatiable work ethic contest to contest that we've all been impressed by at 20 years of age. He said, "It's pretty amazing. He just doesn't ever really stand still, does he? He's not an outside mid, but he runs like one while still being able to win his own ball and stand up in contests at what is a pretty young age." And he was very conscious of the fact that this kid is only 20. Let's not project forward. Mm-hmm. Let's just enjoy what he's doing at the moment. He did go on to say, though, he might be one of those guys in the future who might have to be saved from himself.
Meaning?
Meaning that some players work out, obviously, quicker than others. The harder you train, the better you get. And you keep scaling it up. And you raise the stakes, and it works until it doesn't. So Chris said it's about balancing that out, respecting the laws of gravity, Tim, that apply to everyone while still maintaining that incredible work rate.
Absolutely sensational by you.
Thank you, Gary.
Don't forget, Cooler of the Year could win a 2020 Toyota Hilux Rugged X valued at over 75,000. New car time search, Toyota Advantage. We're going to get a photo of Sammy. In the
burnt.
I say burnt orange. Tim goes with poo brown.
Baby poo.
Turtleneck, skivvy.
Turtleneck?
It's a kind of skivvy sort of.
Come on.
What is it? It's a skivvy.
It's just a jumper.
It's a skivvy.
You're looking into it too deeply.
It's not your light knit. It's sort of your medium knit.
It's a rib knit.
Yeah, that's what it is, Gary. Yes, it's a rib knit.
New
it's not a buckled rib knit. It's a rib knit.